Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. One of the great heroes of faith in the Old Testament was the successor to Moses, a man named Joshua. This military and spiritual leader of God's people was a man of great courage. After Moses died, it was Joshua who led the Israelites across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. He also served as their leader for many years. Joshua was a very young man when he was chosen by Moses to be his successor. He died at the age of 110, having served his God and his people faithfully during his lifetime. Today, we're going to spend our time examining the courage of Joshua. Joshua 1:1-9. You may be surprised to learn that the word courage is used only one time in the King James Version of the New Testament. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked to God and took courage. Acts 28:15. The noun tharsos, translated courage in the King James, is usually translated in the same way in other versions. The New International Version renders it was encouraged. A later form of the verb, thareo, is used 6 times in the New Testament, but never translated courage. The usual rendering of thareo in the King James is the word confident. Let me give you some examples. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. Now I myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:1-2. In these 2 verses, the word bold is a translation of the Greek thareo. There is one other Greek word I want to mention briefly before we begin our discussion of Joshua's courage. The New Testament often uses the noun parousia, or its verb form. Both words mean primarily freedom of speech or unreservedness of utterance. The noun form is used in the following passage. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:13. Paul used the verb form in his letter to the Ephesians, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ephesians 6:20. All of these words tell us of the courage we must manifest in standing up and speaking up for our convictions. Joshua was certainly one of the most courageous leaders the Jewish people ever had. He and Caleb demonstrated great courage when they gave a minority report that the Jews could conquer the land of Palestine. Joshua and Caleb knew the strength of the Palestinians, but they knew with God's help they could accomplish what God expected of them. Their courage helped the Israelites to overcome the enemy and to win the land God had promised to their fathers and to them. Joshua showed great courage on many occasions, but on no occasion did he show more courage than when he said to his weak and vacillating brethren, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. I've already indicated, but it needs to be repeated, that Joshua was chosen to succeed Moses as the leader of the Jewish nation. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Joshua 1:1. Moses had led the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. But because of his rebellion against the Lord, he was not allowed to lead them across the Jordan into Canaan. That honor was reserved for Joshua. Moses was one of the greatest men who ever lived. He was devout, dedicated, and capable. Few men in the history of Israel have been respected more than Moses. But because of his grievous mistake, when he struck the rock instead of speaking to it, as God had commanded, he was denied entrance into Canaan. How near Moses was, and how much he wanted to cross over Jordan, but he was not permitted to do so. God said to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." Joshua 1:2. The death of an outstanding leader like Moses could have caused confusion and consternation among the Israelites. But another great leader was chosen to replace him. How vitally important good leadership is to a nation, or to a church, or to any other institution. When leadership fails or becomes corrupt, the nation or the church is on the way to oblivion. The land of Palestine had been the constant hope of the Hebrew people since the days of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Under the guidance of Moses, the Jews had come to the Jordan River, but could not cross under his leadership. God raised up another great and faithful man to accomplish what Moses was forbidden to do, to cross Jordan to receive the promised land. There have been, and there still are, some criticisms of God's special love and care in giving the promised land to Israel. Did God love the Jews more than any other nation in the world? Did he not show partiality in taking Palestine away from the Hittites, the Hivites, the Philistines, and other nations, and planting the Jews in that land? My friends, the nations inhabiting Canaan had become so unbelievably corrupt that God was justified in driving the heathen nations out and giving the land to the Jews. The iniquity of the Amorites was full. Genesis 15:6. Incidentally, later in the book, Joshua affirms that all of God's promises concerning the land of Israel had been fulfilled. The premillennialists and dispensationalists are waiting in vain for the Jews to be completely restored to the land of Canaan. God promised the Jews through Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Joshua 1:3. Will you please take note of the language Joshua used? God said, "I have given the land to you." Did that mean the land would be theirs whether or not they fought for it? God had promised the land to the Jews, but they had to fight many battles before they actually received the land. The book of Joshua recorded many of these battles, such as the Battle of Ai and at Jericho, two of the more notable battles. God outlined for Joshua just how large the promised land would be. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even under the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Joshua 1:4. The northernmost part of Canaan would be Syria, the land of the Hittites. The southern extremity would be the wilderness of Sin. The western boundary would be the Mediterranean or the Great Sea. The eastern boundary would be the Euphrates River. As you can see from these statements, the map of Israel in the days of Joshua differed considerably from the current map of Israel. The land of Israel is much smaller today than it was then. There is no promise that the land will ever be what it was in the days of Joshua. Since God himself had chosen Joshua to be the leader of Israel, no man could successfully challenge his leadership. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Joshua 1:5. God had wonderfully blessed and guided Moses during his 40 years as Israel's great military and spiritual leader. Moses on occasion had disobeyed God, but God never disappointed Moses during all of that time. The Apostle Peter enables us to appreciate God's faithfulness in keeping His promises. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. God gave the same assurance to Joshua, which He had provided for Moses. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Actually, God gives all His children the same assurance. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. How tremendously inspiring and comforting these words must have been to Joshua as he began one of the most difficult tasks facing any man, the leading of a stubborn, rebellious people into Canaan. The history of Israel during the days of Joshua and of the judges confirms how difficult the nation of Israel was to lead into paths of righteousness. In view of what the Lord knew Joshua would have to face in leading Israel in a very difficult time in the history of the nation, He admonished Joshua to be strong and of good courage. These are the Lord's exact words to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Joshua 1:6. The Jews were not really that different from other people. We can all be stubborn and hard-headed. We are often cantankerous, especially when it comes to dividing an inheritance. When a leader is dealing with people who are difficult, it takes great courage to provide the kind of leadership God desires. Leaders, whether religious, political, or educational, have to make decisions which are often unpopular. But genuine leaders strive to follow God's law regardless of their personal popularity. Leaders are failing their God and His people when they have to find out which way the wind is blowing before they make decisions. One of the best examples of making decisions on the basis of what people want and not on the basis of what is right was the Supreme Court's abortion decisions. There is simply no possibility that anyone, Supreme Court justice or otherwise, can find a principled foundation for the killing of babies. It is not in the American Constitution, as many abortion supporters have had to admit. The Supreme Court's decision was sociological law, not constitutional law. If only our Supreme Court had been filled by men and women whose main goal was to interpret the Constitution. Think of the thousands of lives of innocent babies who could have been saved. But the court knew, or thought they knew, what the country was clamoring for, and ruled in harmony with the wishes of the majority. But the court was wrong on every count. The majority of the American people do not want abortion on demand. They do not want all abortions to be outlawed, but they do not approve of the current situation. We need men and women in positions of leadership who are going to do right, not because it is popular, but because it is right. God knew there would probably be some confusion and anger over the dividing of the land. So He chose a man of great goodness and of great courage. The Lord continued to emphasize the need for courage on Joshua's part. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. Joshua 1:7. When the God of the universe repeats his instructions to Joshua to be strong and very courageous, you can know for sure how very needful these qualities are in a leader. God told Joshua and other Jewish leaders to observe to do according to all the law. I suspect that many of the Jews were like many moderns, including some who call themselves Christians. They almost certainly believed that the law of God was too restrictive, too oppressive. Why must we remember to keep every Sabbath day holy? Would it not be of great value to just keep 1 in 5 or 1 in 10? Why must we offer animal sacrifices or burn incense? These seem so useless in the lives of so many people. Joshua would need all the courage he could get to withstand the pressures of his own people. God knew how impossible it would be for the Jews to properly divide the land and to prosper in the land unless they followed the law of God which he had given through Moses. If the Jews wanted God's approval, they had no choice except to keep all of God's law, even those parts which may have seemed foolish and unnecessary to them. They were not to deviate from God's law, either to the left or to the right. If they were to deviate one jot or one tittle from the law of God, then they were not going to prosper. Does this give you a clue why our nation is being overwhelmed by crime, broken homes, by sexual immorality, and by drug abuse? Many prominent leaders in our nation have decided to ignore the moral and spiritual laws which God has revealed in His Word. They apparently believe, and in some cases have expressed the belief, that we can have moral values without God. How utterly foolish and destructive such attitudes are, and always have been. When a nation forgets God, that nation is destined to disappear from the face of the earth. Why cannot we learn from God's instructions to Moses, to Joshua, to King David? The Jews often forgot God's law and had to pay the consequences. The Apostle Paul provides a summary of the Jews' disobedience to God's law. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:6-11. God continued to emphasize the necessity of keeping the law of Moses. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall you make your way prosperous, and then shall you have good success. Joshua 1:8. These words certainly should have been heeded by every faithful child of God, but they were directed especially to Moses, God's anointed leader of the Jewish nation. Joshua was not to allow the law to depart from his mouth. He was to be a teacher of the law, both by words of instruction and exhortation, and also by his example of devotion to the law of God. Do our leaders have the same need for knowing and loving God's law? Many of them would be offended if they were told that, but the truth of the matter is, they need it more than Joshua did, or at least as much. Joshua and other leaders in Israel were not to let God's law depart from their mouths. They were responsible for keeping the law, but they were also responsible for teaching it to others. Personally, Joshua was to meditate on God's law day and night. How can men expect to lead God's people when they are ignorant of God's law or when they ignore it? are preachers of the gospel and elders of the church as knowledgeable as they ought to be, as knowledgeable as the current situation demands. If Joshua and the Jews expected to prosper financially and spiritually, they had to walk in the way of the Lord. They were promised great success if they followed God's law. Under the Christian era, we are not promised great material success for being faithful to God, but God will bless us when we do His will. This section of Joshua 1 concludes with a question and a charge. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go. Joshua 1:9. Three times in the 9 verses I have discussed with you today, God commanded Joshua to be strong and of good courage. He must have thought Joshua needed these instructions, or he would not have given them to him. The Lord knew how difficult the path ahead would be for Joshua. Joshua could easily have been tempted to be afraid or to be dismayed or to be discouraged. But the Lord assured Joshua of His continuing presence in his life. The Lord would be with him in all his endeavors in the Lord's kingdom. What are the lessons Christian leaders and others can learn from this section of Joshua 1? Let me suggest a few before our time expires. Elders of the Lord's church must have the courage to provide good leadership for the church of the living God. There will be times when the decisions they have to make may not be popular, either with church members or with outsiders. But their responsibility is to do what God desires, not to win a popularity contest. Elders may have to take positions on moral issues, which run contrary to community thinking. But they have to remain faithful to God. He will hold them responsible for the leadership they provide. Hebrews 13:7-17. Preachers of the gospel must have the courage to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Or to put the same truth in Paul's words, we must preach the word. We must be instant, in season, out of season. We must reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. Gospel preachers must have the courage of the great prophets of the Old Testament, and of John the Baptist, of Jesus Christ, and of the apostles. Think for a moment of what our world could be like if we had men in every pulpit across this land like Elijah, Micaiah, Amos, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Peter, Paul, and John. There are many churches where these men could not preach. They would not be countenanced for an hour, and you know that is true. My friends, there are many topics which some church members would prefer not to have discussed from the pulpit, such as denominational error, beverage alcohol, homosexuality, corrupt business practices, adultery, and such like. But preachers must remember the Lord's words to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Our children and teenagers are in need of good leadership from the church, from their parents, and from their school teachers. Our youth face so many temptations and pressures. Unfortunately, many teenagers and adults do not have the strength to resist being like the crowd. They must be encouraged to stand by their convictions and not to be like the world. Romans 12:2. How are our teens going to withstand pressures related to drinking and using illicit drugs? They hear from many sources in our society that everybody is engaging in promiscuous sex. How are our fine young people going to resist becoming involved? It is going to take courage, lots and lots of courage, but it will be worth it in the long run and in the short run. As our lesson comes to a close today, let me remind you that these Old Testament stories are recorded as examples for boys and girls and for men and women in every generation. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15:4. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. With all the critical decisions we have to make, with all the temptations we have to face, and with eternity staring us in the face, we need all the courage we can muster to live in such a way as to please our Heavenly Father. I plead with you to study regularly the great men and women of the Bible and follow their examples. Not only so, but be an example of the courage which others may need. My friends, we thank you for listening today. Please continue to listen as we study from the Word of God. Thank you, and may God bless you.